studying the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter number 46, Uddhava visits Vrindavan, text number 48. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Akrura
Agata
Kimba
Kimbaya
Kamsasya
Harta
Sadaka
Yena
Nita
Madhuparim
Krishna
Kamala
Lochana
Akrura Agata Kingva
Yakam sashyata sadaka
Yena nito madhu purim
Krishna kamala lochana
Akrura agata kingva
Yakam sashyata sadaka
Yena nito madhu purim
Krishna kamala lochana
Akrura
Akrura
Agata
has come
Kimva
perhaps
Ya
who
Kang
Shashya
of King Kangsa,
Artha
of the purpose,
Sadhaka,
the executor,
Yena,
by whom,
Nita,
brought
Madhupurim
to Mathura city,
Krishna,
Krishna.
Kamala,
lotus-like,
Lochana,
whose eyes,
translation and purport.
Perhaps Akrura has returned.
He who fulfilled Kamsa's desire by taking lotus-eyed Krishna to Mathura.
Purport.
The gopis angrily spoke this statement.
Om Ajnanatimanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadam Hayam Dadati Svapadantikam.
So, in the spiritual life, in spiritual perfection, we understand that just as Rupa Goswami states, Vacho Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam, one who can conquer over all the pushings, mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals. So the question could be asked by the casual observer, how can the gopis become angry? That means they're on the material platform. Because Rupa Goswami says, the spiritual platform means when one can conquer over the mind, words, and anger. Of course, there are many examples of anger in the Vedic literatures. Some of them are spiritual anger, just like Hanuman in Lanka. Some of them are material anger. Here is an example of anger on the transcendental platform. The relationship of the gopis with Krishna is completely devoid of any material inebrities. It is pure Krishna bhakti on the highest platform. Therefore, any symptoms that may appear to be material, such as anger, such as lust, etc., are actually not material, but it is simply the loving relationship of the gopis with Krishna. Krishna enjoys many varieties of tastes. Just like if there is a nice prasadam feast, there are so many varieties of tastes. There are sweets, there are salties, there are hot preparations, spicy hot, temperature hot, so many varieties, bitter, so many varieties of tart, so many varieties of tastes are there in a very nice feast. So, Krishna enjoys many, many varieties of sweet tastes, sour tastes, salty tastes, pungent, well, maybe not pungent, but bitter. So many different varieties of tastes are there. It is called rasa. So we should never misunderstand the interactions between the liberated souls, the nitya siddhas, and the Supreme Lord to be anything like the material experiences we have of lust, anger, greed, pride, etc. The spiritual platform is completely pure. This material world is simply a perverted reflection. The mayavadis, they want to make it all into one. The shunyavadis, they want to make spiritual perfection into zero. But this is an artificial position. How long can you be satisfied? Just like on my e-course, I'm interacting with thousands of people throughout the world. One lady who has been trying to meditate following the way of the Tibetan Buddhists. She asked me, what do you think about Tibetan Buddhism? And then she explained that I'm trying to meditate, but I find it very boring. And I said, yes, it is very boring because you're simply trying to make your mind blank. You're trying to make your mind silent. You see, that's boring. It may be interesting for a few minutes. A little relaxation of the mind being absorbed in this and that. But after a while, how long can nothingness satisfy you? All you can really do is sit there and observe how your mind wants to become mindless. But you can't really do that. The mind will think, I have to make my mind blank, I have to make my mind blank. But that's not a blank mind. That's a mind thinking about becoming a blank mind. You see? So spiritual life is not like that, that it's just zero or just oneness. There's so many varieties. The Mayavadi contention that it's all one, but right now we're in a state of duality. That's absurd. If everything is one, then how there could even be the illusion of duality even? You see? That means there's the enlightened state and there's the illusioned state. But that's not logical. If it's all one, then you could never be an illusion. If it was all one, you could never be out of that state of perfect oneness. So these other philosophies, they do not explain things in a very logical, coherent, reasonable way. They are simply various smoke screens of how to puff oneself up thinking I am spiritually advanced while at the same time maintain so many varieties of desires for material sense gratification. So the perfectional platform of spiritual enlightenment is this Bhagavan realization. In which one becomes completely, totally sold out to Krishna. That whatever Krishna wants to do with me. As Prabhupada explains, I am simply your puppet. Now you make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like, my dear Lord Krishna. So this is the devotee position. He simply becomes the puppet in the hands of Krishna. However Krishna wants to pull my strings, that's all right. If he wants me to become angry, that's his way he pulls my strings. As we see here, Gopi is becoming angry, that's all right. If he wants me to feel brokenhearted, that's all right. I just, whatever I can do to please Krishna. This is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya prays like that. Even if you make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. We come to Krishna consciousness because we're tired of being brokenhearted in this material world, but then we learn there's a new kind of being brokenhearted. That is, if by being brokenhearted I can please Krishna, then I will do that. Sometimes, as I've mentioned recently, someone complains to me, I'm getting so many queries every day in the emails, that I'm chanting, but I'm not getting any taste from this chanting. What is the difficulty? Why am I not getting taste? So I explain to them that you're not getting taste because you're trying to get taste. Actually, you're not. We are not chanting for our own pleasure. Krishna consciousness means I give up trying to be the enjoyer and I try to see that Krishna is the enjoyer. So let me chant in a way that Krishna will enjoy my chanting, that Krishna will be pleased and satisfied. Oh, how this devotee is calling out to me in a feeling, in a mood of complete helplessness. We simply have to try to please Krishna by the way we do our activities. Even if I must suffer, that's all right. Prabhupada one time explained like that. I have surrendered to Krishna, and if Krishna puts me into suffering, that is all right. You see. Because I have given myself to Krishna, he can do whatever he wants to with me. Whatever condition he wants to put me in, that is all right. That is surrender. But if I am thinking that now I've come to the temple, I'm living in ashram, but I'm a little dissatisfied, therefore I will leave this Krishna consciousness movement. That is not surrender. You see. Surrender means whatever Krishna wants to do with me, that is all right. This is the proper move. Whatever Krishna arranges for me, I will accept. There is actually one story you may have heard in this connection. There was one king, and he had a prime minister who was Krishna conscious. Very fortunate king. His prime minister was very Krishna conscious. The prime minister would always say, whatever Krishna does is all right. So one day, the king, he had a little accident. And he cut off one of his fingers. His mind was rather agitated. I mean, who wouldn't be disturbed if you cut off a finger? But the prime minister says, your majesty, don't worry. Whatever Krishna does is all right. And he became so angry. Oh, I've lost my finger. And you were saying, whatever Krishna does is all right. Get in the dungeon, you rascal. So he locked his prime minister up in the deep, dark dungeon and kept him there. Now I'm just going to keep him down there, that rascal. How dare he say that it's whatever, that it's all right. I lost my finger. So, the Kshatriyas, they would go on a hunting expedition to practice the killing art and to help the sages who are meditating in the forest to not be tormented by dangerous animals. So the king, he was out on one of his hunting expeditions, And he was kidnapped by some dacoits. They were followers of Goddess Kali, worshippers of Goddess Kali. They would capture some nice looking human being and they would offer him a sacrifice to Goddess Kali. So they capture the king and they are preparing him. They gave him bath, they give him fresh garments, they give him his last meal, very nice opulent meal. They're preparing this to kill him, to sacrifice him to Goddess Kali. But then they noticed, oh my goodness, he's missing a finger. Imperfect, we can't offer him. Let him go. So the king is thinking, wow, whatever Krishna does is all right. Let me go back to the palace and release my prime minister from his incarceration in the dungeon. So he goes there personally to apologize profusely, release the prime minister. And the prime minister, when he opened the dungeon door, the prime minister looks, he's just completely blissful. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram, Ram. Not at all agitated. The king said, but you know, it's amazing, you're not, your mind isn't disturbed. Why are you not? I would think you would be very angry at me, what I have done, this big mistake. He said, Your Majesty, you know when you go on those hunting trips, that I always go with you, and I have all my fingers. Whatever Krishna does is all right. So in this way, we have to see the hand of Krishna in everything. We have to have full faith that that Supreme Personality of Godhead is our well-wisher in all circumstances. There is actually no such thing as a reverse condition for a devotee. The only reverse condition is to think that there is a reverse condition. That is the reverse condition. You see, when our consciousness doesn't see how the hand of Krishna is acting at every step, that is reverse condition. So the devotee sees whatever situation Krishna has put me into, that is his mercy. If he is putting me into difficulty, that is purifying me from my past misdeeds. There is that nice verse in this connection. Tate nu kompam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritang vipakam tadvagvapur vir vidadang namaste jiveta yo mukti pade siddhaya bak. That those persons who are always offering you respectful obeisances, those persons who are always expecting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon them, who agree to go on suffering the reactions for their past misdeeds, meanwhile always offering you respectful obeisances from within, deep within the core of their heart, those persons are certainly eligible candidates for liberation from the cycle of birth and death. Indeed, it has become their rightful claim. So this is the mood that we, if we develop this mood, then no anxiety can ever touch us. You see, if we can simply appreciate how Krishna is so kind, this situation he has put me into right now is his personal loving care for me, to purify me from the reactions from my past misdeeds, so that I can come back to him and regain my eternal position in his sweet, inconceivably wonderful pastimes. So devotee, therefore, always feels enlivened. A devotee is always jali, brahma-bhuta prasanatma nasochati nakankshati. He has nothing to hanker for because Krishna consciousness is the perfection of anything you could ever want. And if you simply chant Hare Krishna with love, then Krishna consciousness is there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And there is nothing to lament. You see, there is nothing to lament. Simply, if I take shelter of Krishna, everything is there. Brahma Saukam Tvanantam. Rishabhadev is advising his sons, my dear boys, this human form of life is very, very rarely obtained. Do not utilize it to imitate the ways of the dogs and the hogs that like to eat stool. Rather, you should perform devotional service to achieve the divine position, tapo divyam putrakayena. You should go for that devotional service to achieve that purification of consciousness and thus achieve that happiness, brahma saukhyam, which goes on to anantam, increasing unlimitedly forever. So this is the sublime mercy of the great acharyas. They are blessing us with this wonderful, wonderful system, this wonderful, wonderful science, this wonderful, wonderful art, this incredibly sublime process to elevate the consciousness, to liberate the consciousness from all of the disturbing factors of material existence, adiatmic, adibhautik, and adidaivik. For one who advances in Krishna consciousness, the disturbances of the material nature are simply something happening out there in the external energy. There is the external energy, the material energy, and there is the internal energy, the spiritual energy. The deeper one goes into the internal energy, the less you feel the pinchings of the external energy. Just imagine the ocean. And on the surface of the ocean, there is big disturbance going on, hurricane. So on the surface and below the surface, there's so much agitation. But if you start going deeper and deeper and deeper within that ocean, then what happens to the disturbance? It becomes less and less and less and less. And finally, you get to a point where there is absolutely no trace of that hurricane, even though it's still raging on the surface of the ocean. Because you are deep within the depths of the ocean, there's not even a slight insignificant symptom of that stormy condition. So the more we can go deeply into Krishna consciousness, the more we will feel that relief from the pinching influence of the material nature. On the one hand, we've got the threefold miseries. And if that wasn't enough, then we have the fourfold miseries. You see? And if that wasn't enough, then as described in Krishna book, there are the seven whips. I mean, it's a rough place, this material existence. It is nasty place. It's a horrible place, actually. Rotten place to live. Bad neighborhood. Very bad neighborhood. This material world. So it's time to move uptown. Get out of this bad neighborhood. Get out of the ghetto of material existence. Go to a nice neighborhood. You see, Krishna neighborhood. So this process is very nice. Anyone from any walk of life, from any culture, of any gender, of any age, of any educational background, it doesn't matter, anyone and everyone, simply you have to be sincere, that's all. That I want to become Krishna conscious. That's all that's required. A sincere desire to become spiritually perfect. It's all we have to have. Do you realize how long? We do not realize. We cannot. We don't have the ability. But Krishna has been hankering since time immemorial. When will my dear child, when will this diva, jiva, my dear child, come back to me? Krishna's actually been traveling with us as the super soul through countless species, Jalaja Navalakshani, Stavala Lakshavinshati, Krimayo Rudra Sankhyaka Pakshinam Dashalakshanam, Trinksha Lakshani Pashyavaha, Chatur Lakshani Manashah. Through all these species, Krishna has been traveling with us as the super soul. You see, just waiting. When will he come back? When will she come back to me? My dear, dear child who has become bewildered by the desire to imitate me. When will this dear, dear soul come back to me? So do you think that if we make a little endeavor that Krishna will ignore that? Do you think Krishna will not reciprocate with that? If we make even a slight endeavor, oh, Krishna will make 10 times whatever we try, Prabhupada explains. 10 times Krishna reciprocates. Just imagine if we had some kind of investment like that in this material world, you see. Some place where you could give $1 and get $10 back. And then give $10 and get $100 back. And then give $100 and get $1,000 back. And take that $1,000 and get $10. You could become a multimillionaire with just a few transactions. You see, with a 10 times return. Well, welcome to ISKCON. This is a place where you can give your energy to the Lord. Give your heart to the Lord and get 10 times reciprocation. And if you take that reciprocation and then give it back again, whatever mercy you get, you use that empowerment of Krishna's mercy to give even more service to Krishna. And then you get 10. So in this way, you see, one can burn off, in one lifetime, one can burn off all the contamination accumulated through millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions of tours of this material nightmare, the quagmire of material existence, which has simply dirtied us more and more and more and more and more. Now it's time to reverse that dirtying tendency. Now it's time to get out of the dirtying syndrome and come to the cleansing syndrome. That's what it means to take to the path of Krishna consciousness. I'm sick and tired of becoming more and more contaminated. Now it's time to become purified. I've had enough of trying to imitate the Lord. Now I want to just surrender to Him. If we make this determination, we become very, very convinced that I have nothing to do except take shelter of Krishna. Anything else is simply shrama eva hi kevalam, a useless waste of time. If I become convinced, simply I must fully, completely, totally surrender to Krishna, and I beg Him, and I beg His pure devotees, I beg Srila Prabhupada, I beg the Acharyas, I beg my Guru Maharaj, you see, please help me to become delivered from this quagmirish nightmare of material existence, you see. If we make this sincere endeavor, Krishna will reciprocate like anything, you see. So now, it is, by material calculation, a new year. So, in the material world, they make resolution. Now, this new year, I will turn over a new leaf. I will give up this bad habit, and now I will develop this good habit. So, we can take advantage that now let me give up all the lust that torments my heart. Let me give up the anger, the greed, the envy, the fault-finding, the pride, all the negative stuff that keeps me here. Let me resolve now, this is the year 2007, to focus on becoming a pure devotee of Krishna, completely free of all the dirt. Prabhupada pushed me to become a pure devotee. In his letters, he told me like that. He said, no sex desire, no karma, no desire for karma, jnana yoga, all material desires, zero, whether you can be like that. So let us take advantage of the wonderful mercy of Srila Prabhupada and resolve now to become completely free of all the contamination which is polluting us, which is causing us to be miserable sometimes, even though we're on the pathway of Krishna consciousness. I mean, why should we suffer unnecessarily? Ahaitukiya pratiyata yayatma supersedati. If we simply take the devotional service free of any desire, even the subtle ones, those are the most tricky ones, actually. The subtle desires are the tricky ones, they're the sneaky ones. The subtle desires are very, very difficult to root out. But if we beg Krishna to please save us, then we can become saved by His grace. By the grace of the great acharyas in our line of disciplic succession, by the grace of Krishna, we can in fact become saved from all of the contamination and become completely, spotlessly pure devotees, ahaitakiya pratiyata, and become fully satisfied. So, thank you very much. Are there any questions? One minute. Getting cranking up my hearing aid.
Yes.
Wait. Okay.
Say if I am going on the train in the city and next door somebody is sitting with me who doesn't know anything about Krishna consciousness.
Uh-huh.
So how do I preach him?
How do you preach to someone?
Yes.
Well, it completely depends on time, place and circumstance.
I'm on the train.
You're on the train. Well, it really depends on the mentality of the person.
I don't know him at all.
Is he spoken to you first, or you're starting the conversation?
He says hello.
He says hello. I know one devotee in Texas. He used to do this. In Texas, people say howdy. So he would say howdy. He would make Hari. He would say Hari and make it sound like he was saying howdy. That is what his technique of trying to purify, get something, you know. Hattie. it really depends. You know, it really depends. The nicest thing is you just, have a nice, attractive book there. Have Krishna book. He says hello, and you say, how are you doing? Is everything going great? The thing is, get someone to open their heart up. Be so warm and friendly and loving to the person that he feels that he can trust you and he can be honest with you. That's really what you have to do when you're trying to build a relationship with someone. You know, hello, oh, hi, how are you doing? Feeling good? Well, that's great. You feel good all the time? He says, yeah, I feel great all the time. And you say, do you really feel good through your whole life? Have you always felt good at every minute, or sometimes things go sour for you? He said, well, yeah, sometimes things get pretty tough. You know, you got to get people to open up, and you got to open up to them. You see, Krishna consciousness is a process of giving. It's not a process of taking, it's a process of giving. If we're in the mood of giving our loving kindness to a person, we really feel that way, and it comes out in the way we communicate with them. People will like that. Because how many people are that way nowadays? Everybody is trying to take advantage of you. Everyone's trying to exploit us, you see. So where is that person who's happy to give himself to us, you see? How did Prabhupada capture us? Because his mood was one of giving, 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 giving. You see? Prabhupada did everything. In the beginning, the boys didn't do anything. Prabhupada would collect the money, he would go to the grocery store, he would come back, he would wash the vegetables, cut the vegetables, cook the feast, personally serve all the devotees. Well, they weren't devotees yet, the hippies. And then after it was over, they would all go home, and Prabhupada would be left to wash the dishes. There was one person to wash the dishes, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. But he didn't think, what is this? They don't know how to respect the spiritual master. I'm going back to Vrindavan. At least they know how to respect a sadhu. No. Prabhupada came to give himself to us because he wanted to give us Krishna consciousness. He gave his loving kindness to us. So if you simply have to try to imbibe the spirit of Srila Prabhupada. That here was a person without any invitation who came to America to start a worldwide spiritual revolution, to turn the course of history in the opposite direction. Nobody invited him. In fact, Prabhupada told us in Atlanta that it was interesting. I had never heard this before, but he revealed something about what was going on in his mind when he came to America. We can't really know these things, but when the pure devotee reveals them, it's very, very amazing sometimes. What Prabhupada told us was this. He said that his godbrother had preached to Lord Zetland in Britain. And Lord Zetland, he had actually been the governor of Bengal during the British rule era. So he was familiar. There are Brahmins, you know, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Brahmin is the top rung of the Vedic culture. So, being a British lord, he was thinking, well, maybe I can also be an Indian Brahmin and a British lord, and that way I have double status, you see. So he said, Swamiji, can you make me a Brahmin? So, Prabhupada's godbrother said, yes, I can make you a Brahmin, provided you follow these principles, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication and no gambling. Lord Zetland immediately replied, impossible. So Prabhupada told us, I was thinking when I came to your country, as soon as I tell them no illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating and no gambling, they will immediately say, Swamiji, please go home. But Prabhupada said, but I thought, let me try. You see? So when we're trying to preach, we may think, what is this person will not like? If I try to, these karmi, they don't like Krishna consciousness. But we have to think of Prabhupada's mood, let me try, you see. You have to think, let me try, let me make the endeavor. Try to deal with this person in such a way that I can capture his heart and give it to Krishna, you see. That we have to do. And if we are very sincere in our desire, Krishna will empower us and we can attract so many thousands and millions of people to join this movement. You see? We simply have to be sincere in our desire to represent that pure loving mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, all the great acharyas. They have so much compassion in their heart. We simply have to come as the DHL man on behalf of these great acharyas, you see, and deliver that message and help them come out of their horrible suffering condition, gliding down to the animal species. So, are there any other questions? Yes.
We heard the three from the priest and four types of
four types of?
Yeah, the birth, old age, and death.
Yes.
I never heard of the seven mentioned in the Krishna book.
The seven whips. Yes, they are hunger, thirst, lamentation. I don't recall all seven of them, but I know they're no fun. I mean, a whip, to be on the receiving end of a whip is not a pleasurable position to be in. So, yes, I don't remember the seven whips, but I know hunger, thirst are two of them. Speak up. Okay. Anything else? All right then. So we're ready now. Okay. One question. All right.
You know, we make the intellectual resolve to be sincere, but very often it gets quickly covered by the previous condition.
Let me see if I can. I heard previous conditioning covered by. What else was there?
The sincere. This desire gets very quickly covered by.
One is sincere, but then that sincerity gets covered over by material nature. Okay. That happens. One step comes forward sincerely to become Krishna conscious. You get this sudden burst of enthusiasm, but then after a while, the modes of nature come crawling in, and Krishna consciousness, I don't know, it's pretty hard. You lose your enthusiasm. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. So you want to know how to keep the enthusiasm? Is that what you're asking? How to keep the sincerity and the enthusiasm going, and not be, okay, yeah. There's a very simple formula, and Prabhupada personally blessed me with this one. When I got initiated, I sent my Guru Dakshina, and Prabhupada was in London and I was in Texas, so he initiated me by letter. So, and I sent some check in, three checks in that I had collected it from some guests at the ceremony, my Guru Dakshina. So Prabhupada wrote me back, he gave me a tip. He somehow noted some enthusiasm in my letter that I wrote him. So he said, continue enthusiastically as you were doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. So I grabbed on to that instruction of Srila Prabhupada. That it's a fact, when there's a natural enthusiasm when we begin the pathway, but after a while, familiarity breeds contempt and we start to lose our enthusiasm. But I had that direct order from Prabhupada, and I knew that that order was full of potency, divine potency, Krishna Shakti. And Prabhupada guaranteed me that if I maintained my enthusiasm, that I would get that constant flow of blessed of mercy from Krishna, you see. So I just hung on to that order. All right, no matter what happens, come hell or high water, as they say. You see. And I can tell you, in the 35, or almost 36 years now since I joined this movement, with the ups and downs we have seen here, it's just been unbelievable. But Prabhupada's order never went up and down. That order that Prabhupada gave me, continue enthusiastically and surely Krishna will bless you. That order is like a rocket ship just taking off into the spiritual world. So I have just hung on to that order no matter what may be happening in ISKCON, what may be happening in my mind, what happening wherever in the material existence. I've just hung on to that order and I've been going for the ride. It works. Just understand that Prabhupada wants you to always be enthusiastic and hold on to that. Prabhupada wants me to always be enthusiastic. You see? If you just hold on to that, you'll be amazed. Prabhupada's Shakti will come through, burn through all the crud that pollutes the consciousness, and every morning you'll be fired up. Wow. I get to go to Mangal Arati again. I get to see the deities. I get to honor Prasadam. I get to see a Vaishnava. We take each other so much for granted. We don't realize that just to have 1 second, one lava matra, 1/11th of a second association with a Vaishnava can bestow all perfection. Sarva siddhi hoi. Sadhu sangha, sarva shastre kai. Lava matra sarva sangha, sarva siddhi hoi. Just 1 second's association with a sadhu can give all perfection. Because we have such a big society and there's so many devotees, we start to forget that to have the association of a person who is Krishna consciousness is more valuable than all the wealth in the treasury of Kuvera. Is it? So if we remember these things, then we can always be enthusiastic. No matter what the mind may say, that mind's a rascal. You see. Just ignore the mind. Yes.
How can I see Krishna's mercy in fact to the world that I'm compelled to do the right thing?
How does Krishna's mercy?
Like, how can I, when I'm in a situation and I might do not the right thing, but if this comes too clearly, how can I see Krishna's mercy?
How you can see the mercy of Krishna at every step? Yes. This is a very wonderful question you have asked. The first thing we know that it is Krishna wants to get us out of here. So everything that's happening to us at every minute is an arrangement by Krishna to get us out of here as soon as possible. It could be some material distress, that somebody finds out they have a terminal disease. You see. It could be some wonderful facility that one has been given to preach and spread Krishna consciousness. It can take any number of varieties of forms. Whether it's distress, whether it's happiness, whatever it is, we should try to see that how Krishna has blessed me with this particular situation. You have to see every single situation that Krishna has put you in as a very special blessing of the Lord. If you desire to see in that way, Krishna will reveal it to you, how this is the most auspicious opportunity. You simply desire to have that vision, and then Krishna will give you that understanding and the ability to see how this is actually a blessing. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam patipurabhukam dadami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upiyantite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So always remain in the mood, my dear Lord Krishna, thank you for putting me in this situation. Always be in the mood of gratitude for everything that's coming to you. And then Krishna will bless you to see how actually it is a very special mercy. This is Prabhupada's personal experience. At one point in our ISKCON, there was a very disturbing thing happened. And Prabhupada noticed that some contamination from the Gaudiya Math had infiltrated ISKCON. And Prabhupada's was being minimized, his position. He noticed so many indications here, there, they were just popping up more and more. It was so bad, he called Tamal Krishna Maharaj to come to Los Angeles. He said, get me out of here. Get me out of here. He said, where would you like to go, Srila Prabhupada? How about Florida? Prabhupada said, it's not far enough away. Prabhupada was so disturbed with this contamination that had infiltrated this country. And then finally he ended up going to Japan and to India to start preaching there. When later on, after all these big projects had come up in India, Vrindavan, Mayapur, Bombay, Prabhupada revealed how he had gone in Los Angeles to Rukmini Dwarkadish. He said, "My dear Lord, I do not understand. Why are you driving me away?" Prabhupada could not understand how this was Krishna's mercy. But later on, he realized, he saw how it was Krishna's mercy. So when it's actually happening, when disturbing things happen, because Prabhupada went to India, he established these projects, the whole contamination, like the bubble burst, and a whole purification happened in North America, and then Prabhupada came back, and the whole thing is resolved. And it was a wonderful, our movement was actually moving forward, like leaps and bounds, through some of the, you know, the trials and tribulations that were overcome. So when we're in the midst of the trials and tribulations, sometimes it's very difficult. We're just devastated sometimes. We can't see how this is Krishna's mercy. But we just have to have our faith, Krishna, if this is what you want from me, all right. I must accept it. Now let me just remain dedicated and continue with my service. And if we have this spirit, then even if we can't immediately see how it is the blessing of Krishna, that day will come and we'll see. So, Krishna consciousness requires patience. So now I know we're getting late. That was a long question and answer session. So we'll stop here, and there is a special thing happening upstairs. Shishi Radhadamanar's darshan is now available. These are the small, those of you who didn't come yesterday, these are the personal deities of His Holiness, Tamal Krishna, Goswami Maharaj. These deities were willed to Vishnupriya Devi Dasi by Tamal Krishna Goswami in His will, His written will. So they are traveling with us in this this time, and their darshan is now available, and their Mahapishanam is now available also. Everyone is welcome to come right now for darshan with Shri Shri Radhadamanar. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.